Our sanctuary has some very beautiful stained glass. And at some point in time, I'm going to do a sermon just on the different images, the hand-painted representations of Jesus that you see on our windows. The ones you can see here, the one very few people see because it's way up there in the back, and for some reason, only the choir and the pastor get to look at the really cool window every week. I'm not sure why. But amidst all of the symbolism and the meaning, all the names that tie us to history of those who helped make these windows possible, there are a couple windows that have scripture on them, one of which baffled me when I first saw it. Maybe you've seen this one. Suffer the little children to come unto me. What? Who puts this on a church window? I mean, yes, okay. So the old English that appeared in the King James, the meaning of suffer historically was allow. But when they put these windows in, suffer meant suffer. I mean, why do you put suffer the little children to come unto me on a window? There's something about that that doesn't exactly feel very invitational. Or maybe it is rather relational. Maybe you were one of those kids who suffer the children come unto me is how you felt about church, as your parents dragged you kicking and screaming to participate. When you read a more modern translation of this scripture, it's in Mark, amongst other Gospels, but the version in Mark, you hear Jesus say these words. People kept bringing children to Jesus so that he would bless them, but the disciples scolded them. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these. I assure you, whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them. Allow the children to come to me. I really wish they would have used that version on the window. But we can live into this more than what a window says. Allow is so much better than suffer, but it still leads to an interesting question. What is the role of children in religious communities? Or put differently, where is a child's place in our church? This is a very important question, and I believe it relates to all of us, whether you have children of your own or not. The baptism is actually a wonderful place to start our conversation today. When a child is baptized, the parents make a commitment in front of the entire congregation. But the entire congregation is also making a commitment. In our response during each baptism, we commit that we will recognize this child as a member of the family of God. That with God's help, we will live our lives by the example of Christ. That these children might be surrounded by love, formed in faith, and confirmed and strengthened in a way that leads to life eternal. When we baptize a child, we are recognizing them as family. Today, each and every one of you committed to be Connor's sister and brother, uncle and aunt, grandmother and grandfather in Christ. This is what we do. This is the commitment that we make. This is why even before I had a son, I referred to the children in every congregation I've been a part of as our children. And I invite you to think of them that way as well. So we follow Christ's example and we invite children into our presence, but what then? How do we keep them from feeling like it's a suffering? How do we keep from having them or having us feel like everybody's suffering because they're here? How do we engage and create space for our children? I am so grateful for our children's ministry staff and the volunteers that serve our children, Brandon, and our nursery staff, Abby and Ashley and Maxine, and all of those who teach Sunday school work every single week to meet our children where they are with curriculum that's specifically designed to capture their attention and grow their faith. In fact, I invite you to give it a try. Look, the curriculum, it's already planned. The activities are already ready and laid out on the table. What we're looking for are people who are willing to be in relationship with our children, to be with them, to learn alongside, to let them know that people care. It's one Sunday a month. Give it a try. Tell Brandon you're willing to give it a shot, even just for a season. I'll give it 2 or 3 months to see how it is. I guarantee you, you will find that the children will teach you more than you will ever teach them. But Sunday school is only one part of what we do. There's actually a quote at the top of your bulletin today. It comes from one of my favorite authors in seminary. I did a lot of reading, but there was no quote better than this one. The church doesn't have an education program. The church is an education program. This is critical because sharing, learning, mentoring, developing, growing, it's supposed to be about everything we do, not just something we lock off into a 40-minute section while the kids are in some other part of the building. I'll tell you this, religion that does not incorporate children into its full practice in community life is dead. Or at least it will be when all the adults die. Because what we are finding after generation now is for so long we've been sending kids out of the sanctuary. We sent them to the nursery as infants. We sent them to Sunday school as children. We sent them to youth group as teens. And after a lifetime of being sent out of our sanctuary, we stand around wondering why they aren't coming back as adults. Because we haven't made space. I mentioned a favorite quote in our weekly email this week. Every child needs a good religious upbringing to rebel against. I believe this is true. I believe that we must give our children something to love, something to hold as their own, and something that they will eventually wrestle with and make their own decisions about. You know, actually, I believe we're all still rebelling against our religious upbringing. At least I hope we are, because that's what makes faith our own. And I believe it pleases God when we're seen wrestling with what we believe. God doesn't want us just saying, okay, this is what they handed me, I'm fine. God wants to see us saying, what does this really mean? How does this apply to who I am now? But the decision is too often made for children when they're excluded from the religious life of a congregation by being set aside somewhere. What we see in the scripture is Jesus inviting children right into the middle of what was going on. He wanted them to be present so the children might learn from all that was going on around them. But also that the adults might learn something too. We'll get to that. It is important for children of all ages to be present in worship, to be present in our sanctuary, in our midst, to be with us in coffee hour. It's why we don't just have you drop the kids off at Sunday school on your way to church. Before they leave for Sunday school, our children have participated in call and response liturgy, shared in the connection of welcome, they've sung hymns, they've heard Bible stories, and they've participated in prayer. And they still get to go be a part of things that engage them at their own developmental level. They learn ritual by participating in it. My favorite seminary professor tells a story about religious language and how children learn religious language just like any other language. You first learn it by context, then you learn the meaning. She was at church one day with her daughter and one of her daughter's friends, and she was working on something, and the two girls slipped away. And after she went to find them, she found these two little girls in the sanctuary, holding hands, jumping up and down, shouting, "Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia." They most likely could not define what that word means, though could many of us as adults? But they knew it was a happy, exciting word that you say in this space. You know, last summer while we were out in the parking lot for the bluegrass worship service under the big tent, I was sitting on a hay bale doing the pastoral prayer, and my little guy Joey, who was 2 at the time, walked up and sat next to me while I was doing the prayer. And as I said the prayer, he chimed in the whole way through. Dear God, amen. As we gather today, amen. We pray that amen all the way through the whole prayer. Megan likes to joke, at least I think she's joking, that he was trying to get me to make the prayer shorter. But here was this 2-year-old who, without any formal instruction, I promise, babe, I'm not trying to turn our kid into a church person. Without any formal instruction, he knew what was going on, and he knew what we say, and he knew how we say it by being a part of community. And if you were here last week, you watched my little guy wander down the aisle and kneel next to me during prayer time. He was just there, quietly, holding still during prayer time. I didn't know he could hold still that long. But he's learned it's part of how we worship together. This is something that we offer our children beyond Bible stories and prayers. By creating space, we are offering a safe environment in which they can learn to participate in community. It's a full program we offer here. They're learning how to greet people and build new relationships. They're learning how, well, they're still learning, how to walk slowly around our most senior folks out of respect for people of different ages and abilities. They're learning how to sit and be present during something. They're learning how to sing and join in songs. We offer a place where children learn what it means to be in community through an invitation and through appropriate boundaries. Now, I do recognize that having children in worship poses some challenges. Parents often spend time tending to their needs of the children and don't get to worship themselves. Okay, those of you in the back who are actually trying to keep your kids busy, I said sometimes you don't get to participate. Okay, good. Okay. Every child, especially the youngest among us, is going to have a noisy morning that can often make parents feel embarrassed and sometimes makes it hard for those nearby to hear what's going on. That's just part of being together. And these are some of the challenges we have to navigate together. It's why we have a balcony where our toddlers can toddle back and forth. How you doing? It's why we have playrooms filled with toys where the kids can play and hopefully parents can still hear. It's why we have a well-staffed, caring, and safe nursery. It's why we offer Sunday school. But it is also why you will never hear me complain if a child cries during the sermon, a toy gets dropped during a silent prayer, or a child wanders up during announcements. Because we need them here. We need them to receive the bread of communion and be told that God loves them. We need them to see babies baptized and then ask if they've been baptized and why they were baptized and what that meant. We need them to sing songs and hear stories and light the candles. We need them to witness what it means to be welcoming people, welcoming all people, and building relationships. We need them to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and collect food for the food pantry so they understand what it's about to serve other people. But we don't just need them here for their sake. We need them here for our sake. Because they are bearing witness to something we all need to learn. They are exploring. At times they are rebelling against, and in all ways they are claiming their faith in a way that we can learn from. Because if you were listening to Jesus, you heard him say, "Allow the children to come to me. Do not forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children." I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. Our children are offering us an example of what it means to welcome God's kingdom. We are asked to have faith like children. Now, there are always some people who hear that statement and think they're being asked to just blindly accept religion and whatever they're told. People that think that don't have a 3-year-old. I dare you to get through a conversation with my son in which he doesn't ask you why 27 times. Or on Easter morning, when a 5-year-old walks up to me and asks, "Where is God?" And she was expecting a literal, accessible, and concise answer. And she deserves one. Welcoming God's kingdom like a child is not about blind acceptance. It's about excitement, an interest, an inquisitiveness, and hope. She honestly wanted to know where God was. And when I told her that God was all around us and could be seen when we love one another, you could watch her think about her life. And then she said, "Cool," and ran off smiling. When we invite children into our community life, blessings abound. Because our children bless us, just as we get the chance to bless them. There is no suffering needed. There is only the same invitational relationship that God extends to all of us, in which we are learning and questioning and growing. Amen.